Galatians 5, verse 13 to the end. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command, love your neighbor as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying each other.
This morning, we're going to have a health checkup. I don't know how you feel about going to the doctors. When you get a letter from the doctor saying you need to come and see me for your annual MOT, depending what age you are, or because you're over 40, or you're just feeling unwell and you think, I need the doctor to check me out. We're going to talk about not a physical health check this morning, but a spiritual health check. But before we do that, I want to share with you two experiences Tanya and I have had of health checks that we've needed. And they are both related to us going to Botswana. When we first were going to Botswana as missionaries, our mission said, you need to go to a private healthcare organization and they need to give you a full health check. We want to check you're in good health before we send you overseas, where they may not be able to deal with some of the health issues you have. Now, bear in mind that Tanya was just weeks away from giving birth to Thomas. So she wasn't at her slightest, let's just put it that way, politely. But we were very amused and a little entertained and also a little shocked when we got our health report back from them saying, you're all looking in great health, but Tanya, you're a bit overweight. You're obese. No mention of the fact she was pregnant at the time. So, you know, I'm sure we have that framed somewhere in the house. I don't know. The other one is when we wanted to get our permits to stay in Botswana, they expect us to get a doctor to sign off a medical form to check we're okay, to give us the permits. They don't want people to come and live and work in the country if they have serious health conditions, which might be a burden on their medical systems. But we were really surprised by the form, which made no mention at all of weight, health, or blood pressure, the usual things. You may not be able to read it there, but the main feature seems to be getting a doctor to say, we're not suffering from any of these disabilities. And then I've highlighted being an idiot, being an imbecile, or being feeble-minded. How we managed to get a doctor to sign us all off, I don't know, but we did, praise God. But this morning, we are going to look at our spiritual health. Just think, how much effort and energy do you put, and money as well maybe, into looking after your bodies? I see lots of people running. I see lots of people with expensive gym memberships and coming and going to the gym on the high street. I see people having regular visits with the doctors and going in and out of the pharmacies with medicine. I know that a lot of people have medical insurance and things like that. We invest a lot in our physical health. But how long are our physical bodies going to last? Not that long. Hopefully a good few years for most of us, but physical health is important, but a spiritual health, that is our relationship and connection with God, that eternal part of us which is going to live forever, surely we should be investing more in that. I mean, that's going to be with us beyond physical death or Christ coming again. This body is going to fall away. It's not going to be any good to us in heaven. So this morning, I want us to focus this short time on our spiritual health. During a physical health examination, a doctor will be looking at indicators to say your physical health is or isn't good. He might be looking at your blood pressure, your weight, your blood sugar, and numerous other indicators. He may drain you of half the blood in your body to do lots of tests, depending on what they're checking for. They might do x-rays so they can see you inside and out. And they may put you on all kinds of courses of treatment. What are the indicators of spiritual health? Jesus gives us a clue. Matthew 7, 17 to 18. Here he's talking about how to identify good teachers of the Bible, good Christian teachers and good and bad teachers, so false teachers and true teachers. He says, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. I'm going to suggest to you that a false teacher is somebody who's in poor spiritual health. They're not in a good relationship with God, if indeed they're in a relationship with him at all. Someone who's not in a relationship with God, we might say, is spiritually dead. That connection to God isn't there. And if we are a Christian, we can look at ourselves and others as trees. If we're in good spiritual health, we can expect to see our lives bearing good fruit. And if we're in poor spiritual health, we might find that we're not bearing many good fruit, and we're bearing more bad fruit. So I'm going to suggest to you these are indicators of spiritual health this morning. And in the passage that David Eaton kindly read for us, it talks a lot about good and bad fruit. And we're going to look through this passage, and we are going to come up with a list of indicators. And as we go through, I want us to ask the Holy Spirit and use our minds to look at our own lives and do a bit of a self-assessment of how our spiritual health is. Because if we don't know we're sick, it's hard to treat ourselves and to get better, isn't it? So let's look at our first indicator this morning. And I'm going to suggest this is our main indicator of good spiritual health. Health indicator one is that we should be seeing love increasing in our lives. Love increasing in our lives. Galatians 5:14. The Apostle Paul, who's written this letter to the church in Galatia, says the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command. Love your neighbor as yourself. So who is our neighbor? I think this is an easy question for anyone who's ever been to Sunday school. We all know the parable of the Good Samaritan. Our neighbor is not just the person who's next door to us. It's not just the people that we know and we love and get on well with in our amongst our friendship groups and our families and our colleagues at work. Our neighbors are everybody, even those that we don't get on well with, even those that we find it really, really hard to love. You know, the Samaritan was the enemy of the Jews, and the Jews were the enemies of the Samaritans. And yet in that parable, it is the Samaritan who reaches out to the Jew who has been beaten and left and abandoned by the road, not his fellow Jews. Our neighbor is everybody. Even those it's hard to love, we should be loving. The comedian Eric Morecambe, when he was talking about his neighbor, he said, "My neighbor asked if he could use my lawnmower. And I told him, of course you can, as long as you don't take it out of my garden." Is that how we treat our neighbors? There's love in what Eric Morecambe was saying, but not love for his neighbor, love for himself. And I think probably one of the strongest interpretations of love and uses of it in society today is self-love, selfishness, love of the self, using others to love ourselves rather than loving others and allowing ourselves to be used in pursuing that love for them. In fact, love seems to have so many definitions in modern society. If you look at romantic movies or romantic novels, it can be a fluffy sort of thing, sentimental. Sometimes it can be highly sexualized and lust-based. Sometimes it can be used for very arbitrary things. You know, I love my car, I love my phone. What are we talking about here? What kind of love, what is the quality of the love that Paul is saying we should have? Well, we look at 1 Corinthians 13, 4 to 7, we get insight into the quality of this love we should be increasing in. And it is not shallow, it is not superficial, it is not something loose and fluffy, and it is not cheap and easy. It is costly. He says, love is patient, love is kind. It doesn't envy. It is not proud. It doesn't boast. It doesn't dishonor others. It's not self-seeking. It's not easily angered. Keeps no record of wrongs. Love doesn't delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. I'm going to suggest this is the love that was demonstrated by Christ on the cross, as we will remember later as we come to communion. Paul has a stark warning in our reading this morning. If we don't love in this way, it will be obvious. It will be obvious in our relationships with others, in those bad fruit in our lives. He says, you will bite and devour each other. Watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. If we don't love in this way, we are going to bring dissension and trouble. So what is our first health indicator? It is, we should see, increasing love. 1 John 4:8 says, whoever does not love, and we're not talking about this loose, fluffy love, we're talking about that quality of love we've just talked about. Whoever doesn't love like that doesn't know God. Because God is love. If we are spiritually connected to God, if we are in a healthy relationship with Him, God, who is love, His love will come through us. And it won't be a cheap worldly love. It will be that costly love we've just talked about. If we can see that love in our lives, we can say with confidence, I'm doing pretty well. I've got good health in this area. In my relationship with God, I'm connected with Him. But if we see that actually we're a long way off of that, that's an indicator that maybe things aren't right in our relationship with God. I'm going to suggest to you, and I think we'll come back to this later, that you cannot humanly force yourself to love people that way. You may be able to set your mind to it, in some instances do it, but consistently you will not be able to do it in your own strength. It can only come from that relationship with God. That's why we have this challenging verse. Whoever doesn't love like this doesn't know God. You're not connected to Him. So, let's take our doctor's stethoscope, or however you want to view it, and look at ourselves. Put it against ourselves. Are we loving our neighbors in this way? And not just any neighbor. Are we loving the neighbor who it's really hard to love in this way? Maybe God's bringing to mind some people. He has to me. This can be a sign that there's things we need to work on to improve our spiritual health. Let's look at our second indicator now. So we've looked at love, and I'm going to suggest that love underpins the next two indicators. And our next indicator is that we should be seeing a decrease in the bad fruit in our lives. And by bad fruit, the passage we've read this morning talks about the flesh. It talks about the sinful nature and desire. In other words, that part of us that acts against God's will. That part of us that wants to keep living in a way that is, which doesn't fit, isn't compatible with being in relationship with God, is unloving. And we have a definition of, or we have some examples of these bad fruit that Paul gives us. It's not a highly comprehensive list. I believe he was probably focusing on some of those things that were particularly pertinent, were challenging the church in Galatia at the time. But actually, if you look through this list, I believe they are irrelevant to our society today. But there may be more that God brings to our minds, and we say, actually, there's other bad fruit that can be displayed. But let's just look through these quickly. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious. And I want to point out this word, obvious. Because I think Paul is saying here, guys, the things we're about to talk about, there's no excuse. You can't just say, oh, I didn't realize that was wrong. If you are in a healthy relationship with God, His Holy Spirit is in you. He brings His convicting light onto these areas of our lives. If any of us are in a situation where we're involved in some of these things and we're saying, yeah, but it's okay, there's nothing really wrong with it, I believe we will know deep down if we're spiritually healthy, if we're in a relationship with God, actually, there's something wrong here. So he says, the acts of the sinful nature are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery. I think we can see that in the world today, definitely. Idolatry and witchcraft. We may not think much about witchcraft in this country. Certainly in Botswana and other parts of the world, we talk about witchcraft. But here, people are involved in the occult, in other mystic religions and New Age and things, which we could put in a similar category, or superstitious in different ways. We may not worship idols in the Old Testament biblical sense, but people idolize other people. They idolize possessions. They idolize certain roles and in jobs and things. We can idolize lots of things in society today. Hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy. These are definitely prevalent in the world today, maybe in our lives a little bit as well, and actually in churches quite often. Drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you as I did before, those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. These are examples of the bad fruit. They are anti-love. If we are seeing these things in our lives in a big way, then that is a sign that our health spiritually is not that good. We need to do something about it. But it's not quite as cut and dry as that. As Christians, we still sin. In fact, all of us do. So how do we reconcile this new nature that we have? Does that mean none of us are spiritually healthy? Are we all on the wrong track? Galatians 5:24 says, those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Now, I'm going to suggest to you that this is not a statement of fact. It is a statement of choice. Because we have free will as Christians. What has changed in us is not that we are magically now robots who can do no wrong when we become a Christian. What has changed in us is we now have access to the Holy Spirit who lives in us, who can guide us and can tell us what right and wrong is. But we can choose to listen to what he's saying to us, or we can choose to do things another way. There is an act of crucifixion that we need to make to our sinful desires and our passions, to these bad fruit. We have to choose to turn away from these things, even as Christians, choose to do things God's way and to not bear these fruits, to not go on paths that will lead us that way. Galatians 5:16-18, I say to you, live by the Spirit. In other words, listen to what the Holy Spirit's telling you, who lives inside you as a Christian. If you do this, you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Here again, we see that choice. Choose to live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. But if we choose not to, then we will be. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. There is a tension here when we become a Christian between our fleshly nature, our old pattern of operating, and the new way we can do things, following God's Holy Spirit. It's like there's a war raging inside us. Yes, as Christians, Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians 5:17, we are indeed a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come. That new creation is the Holy Spirit in us. We are connected to God. We are eternal beings, but we still have our old flesh still in our bodies. We still have our brain programmed to do things in the way we always used to do things before we had access to God's Holy Spirit and guidance. If I have spent my whole life being driven by what I want to do at any moment, being driven by my personal feelings and emotions in my decisions, being manipulated or guided by my peers and worldly values and the culture I'm immersed in and the context and a myriad of other things that put pressure on me to say, this is how you should live your life, then it's going to take me a while to reprogram my brain. And that takes action on our part. Paul recognizes that in Romans 12 too. He says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. This is not a magical thing that happens when you become a Christian. We need to make that choice to not conform anymore, to stand against the fleshly desires, these sins and temptations, to listen to His Holy Spirit, to remap our brains so that our inclination is not to do things the way we always did before we were a Christian, to make the same old choices, to listen to the world or our peers above God's Holy Spirit. And it's hard and it's costly. That's why we are told by Jesus that we need to pick up our cross, to deny ourselves and follow Him. It is a choice. If we want to be spiritually healthy, if we want to see these bad fruit decreasing in our lives, which is evidence of our spiritual health, we need to live by the Spirit. We need to live by the Spirit, to follow God's voice rather than our old voices, the world around us. So let me ask you this morning, as we look at our second indicator of seeing decreasing bad fruit in our lives, recognizing that as Christians there is this conflict. We won't always get it right. But if we are growing in that relationship with God, increasingly we should be seeing more love in our life, in our actions, in our words, in our deeds, and decreasingly seeing these bad fruit. How are we doing? Are there sins in our lives that we are particularly struggling with? We might call them strongholds of sin. Are there things that we sin, we repent, and then we do it again the next day? And we're in this sin-repent cycle. Sign of poor spiritual health. We need to do something. Is there an area of sin in our life that, if we're honest, we know is wrong, but we're kind of justifying, or we're kind of pushing down? Maybe we've turned the volume down a bit on the Holy Spirit. We're trying to sort of pretend it's not incompatible with our new creation status, living by the Spirit. But if we're honest, if we did that painful look inwards, we'd realize it is. Are we seeing a decrease in sinful fruit in our lives? So now we're going to come to our third and final indicator, which is we should be seeing an increase in spiritual fruit. It's the converse. We're increasing in love if we're healthy, so we should see the bad fruit lessening in our life. We won't see it completely eradicated while we're in this world, but we should see it going down. We should be dealing with those strongholds of repetitive sin in our life especially, and we should see an increase in these good fruits. These good fruit, which are completely compatible with love, unlike the bad fruit, which are like anti-love. So what are these fruits? We have the words for us in Galatians. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. I'm going to suggest to you, and I'm going to come back to the discussion we had on love earlier and how it's kind of been watered down in today's language and understanding of it. I'm going to suggest to you that all these fruit that have been mentioned here are not just our modern day worldly interpretations. When we talk about joy, for instance, we're not just talking about joy because it's my birthday and someone's given me a lovely present, or joy because I got a promotion. We're talking about radical joy. We're talking about supernatural joy that is only possible through having that connection with the Holy Spirit. That joy that you can have even when everything's going wrong, even in the storms and troubles of life. Well, I'm joyful. I'm joyful when things are going well. Does that mean I'm spiritually healthy? No, the proof is when things aren't going well. That's really when our spiritual health gets tested and we can see how we're doing. Radical, supernatural love. As we've already talked about, it's sacrificial and it's costly if it's a fruit of the Spirit, if it's not something superficial and ungenuine. Joy in all circumstances. Trusting God's good plans even when we can't see the way ahead, even when it seems impossible to have that joy. Peace when we face the storms of life, when we're walking through the valley of the shadow of death. That is the peace that we're talking about here. Patience, even when everyone around you is being completely unreasonable and annoying and frustrating, and everything's going wrong and nobody's doing the job that they should be doing, and you're just at your that peace in those impossible situations. Not just when you're on a lovely, tranquil beach, you know, chilling out on holiday. Kindness and goodness. Not just kindness and goodness where it's easy to be kind to somebody because they're your friend, they're your family, they've been kind to you in the past. Not just the kindness and goodness when it doesn't cost you much because you've got surplus time, surplus money, surplus resources, so you can give out of your surplus, but when it cuts deep, when it costs deep, like Christ sacrificed on the cross, he gave up everything, this kindness and goodness. Faithfulness, not just being faithful to those who you love and know and get on well with, but those actually who maybe aren't always faithful to you, don't follow through on their commitments to you. Our faithfulness to God, sticking to him and walking closely with his Spirit, a supernatural faithfulness. A gentleness, being gentle with those who are not gentle with you. Holding off on our frustration with people, and we just want to let them have it with both barrels, but actually what they really need is gentleness from us. And finally, self-control. Probably one of the hardest things to do in this current age, which says, do what you want when you want to. Get what you want when you want it. To live contrary to the way of the world, which says, don't just go out. It's your right. It's your freedom. You go and get what you want. But to forego our rights for the benefit of others. To be self-controlled. To say no to this flesh within us, which says, do things this way, the old way. But to be transformed in our minds, to walk by the Spirit in those moments. You will know a tree by its fruit. That's what we started with. If it bears predominantly good fruit, you can say it's spiritually healthy. It's in relationship with God. And if you see more and more fruit growing, then you're on that lifelong journey of becoming closer, more in like and more in line with God. You're walking by the Spirit. He doesn't transform us overnight into a glorious fruit tree with good fruit, but it's a process. But if we find that bad fruit persisting or even growing, then we're probably heading the other way, further away from him. You know what I love about seeing a beautiful fruit tree? And one of the joys of being in Botswana and having a friend who had an orangery and a wide variety of citrus fruit was seeing the trees, good trees, bearing wonderful fruit. And when we used to walk through his orangery with our children, they wanted to grab and pick. And they wanted to eat. And the guy who owned it would say, nope, they're not ready yet. I know you're desperate, but trust me, wait a bit. They'll be good for picking. But there's something about a luscious fruit tree where you just want to grab and eat. And if we are bearing these good fruit, if we are moving forward in our relationship with God, people will look at the good fruit in our life and they'll say, wow, how patient is that guy in this situation? How loving are they able to be despite, you know, what it's costing them? People want to come and have a taste. They want to find out more for themselves. If we are spiritually healthy, if we're moving forward with God, if we have these indicators in our lives and they're good, then what a witness we're going to be for God's kingdom. How many more people will we see coming in who want a taste? Who want to come into a relationship with God? So when you go to a doctor and he says, I'm sorry, you're going to need to make some changes for your health, but it's for your benefit. We normally, hopefully, follow their instructions and their advice. If we've pointed the spotlight on ourselves this morning, listened to the stethoscope and found there's something not right here, what do we do about it? And I would suggest, even if you haven't found anything particularly not right here, none of us are the finished article. So we can all benefit from improving our health. Just as a pro athlete who has nothing wrong with them keeps training and keeps looking after their bodies. What do we do? Well, that's very simple. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. We live by the Spirit because we only have eternal life because of God's Holy Spirit in us. That connection to Him. His work on the cross made it possible for us to be connected. That is our mark that we have eternal life. We're in relationship with Him. And if He's in us, we need to keep in step with Him. I'm going to bring this time to a close, sharing a little anecdote of when I was at Bible college and I was invited to be the best man at a wedding, which is always an honor. But it was a Nigerian wedding. And it was actually not too far from here in London. I knew the best, the groom very well and his bride-to-be. And we went through all the details of what would need to be done. And then we traveled to the wedding on the Friday. It was going to be on the Saturday. And we got there for Friday evening in time for the rehearsal. And I assumed it would be like any other wedding I've been to, where you have the groom and all of his men at the front. And then at some point, the music plays, and then the bride walks up the aisle. Well, apparently in there, I don't know if this is across all of Nigeria or specific to their tribal group and heritage, but it's the other way around. The bride is already in the church, and then the groom comes to the end of the aisle, and then some African music in this case was playing, and then he dances in an African way up the aisle. And it's the responsibility of the best man who's directly behind him to keep in step. Now, I cannot dance, okay? There is some illegal black market copies of this video. I've tried to get rid of them all. It may raise its ugly head at some point, I warn you. But also, I then have the responsibility for the ushers behind me, who actually can dance quite well, but they can't see what the groom's doing, so they're reliant on me. And we have this line of people, and the groom is, he's away, he's doing his thing. We'd practiced. I just about got my wooden daddy dancing together, although I wasn't a daddy at that point. But that's how I felt like I was dancing really badly. No offense to daddies who can dance here. But I was doing this, and it was going okay. I won't say I was brilliant, but the ushers behind me had grace and were sort of following the step. Until we got two-thirds of the way up the aisle, and I can only assume that the groom got really excited on seeing his bride, because he started freestyling. I tell you, he was off. He was all over the place. And here am I, panicking, having a meltdown, completely out of step. And the poor ushers behind me, well, it was chaos for them. If we are out of step with the Spirit, things go wrong. Out of step with the Spirit, things go wrong. And I won't read this passage, but from John 15, 1-8, we have this image of being connected to the vine. If we are out of step with the Spirit, we aren't connected to the true vine, which is God. And we can't hear His guidance in our lives. And we can't do things His way. And we're going to end up in trouble. That's when our spiritual health will suffer. We need to stay connected. How do we do that? How do we do that? We need to stay in relationship with Him. To get out of step with the Spirit might be because we're running ahead of the Holy Spirit. We're thinking, well, maybe God wants me to do this, and we don't wait for Him, we just run on into some situation, and actually He wants to say, wait, or actually that's not the way I want you to go. Or maybe we're lagging behind, and He's saying, guys, you really need to move forward in this area, you really need to change this, you really need to do this, and we're, oh, I don't know. We're lacking faith, we're not listening to Him properly. Or maybe we have chosen to turn the volume down on the Holy Spirit, or say, well, I think this way is easier, I'm going to go this way instead. We stay connected to Him. We stay connected to the true vine through Bible reading, fellowship, worship, thanksgiving, prayer, all these things that we know. But I'm going to suggest to you that that is not enough. There's a quality to these things. It's very easy to fall into that legalistic rut. Well, I go to church on Sunday. Tick. I read my Bible every day. Tick. I give my tithe. Tick. I helped out putting chairs out. Tick. All great things. But if they are just a tick list, and we think that's going to keep us in good relationship with God, we are wrong. If my relationship with my wife is reduced to, have I done the washing? Tick. Have I cleaned the house? Tick. Have I put the boys to bed? Tick. What kind of relationship do we have? Functional at best. And some would say that's not a real relationship. We need to be coming and saying, I genuinely want to know you better, Lord. And I want you to know me. And I want to listen to what you are trying to tell me. We need to be hungry for that relationship. And if we do that, and I can testify to this to myself and point you to other people, it will move these things from being a chore and a task to a joy and a pleasure. It may take time, but we'll start saying, wow, God really spoke to me today. I want to know more. I want to do this. And it becomes a joy and it becomes a real relationship. So I don't want to overrun this morning. So we're just going to move to our checklist. I don't know if you can help, Erica. It should just be the next one, if it's coming. It's not moving. We have a checklist, which will come up. Next one, please. Thank you very much. Don't panic about writing this down. It's going to be in the Thursday bulletin this week as well, because I want us to take this away. These are some questions we can ask ourselves related to what we've talked about today. I would highly commend you to spend some time, half an hour, 20 minutes, looking through these questions and asking yourself these questions, to do a health assessment. Maybe you've done a bit of that already this morning. Because I think it's something important we should do regularly, maybe twice a year, once a year, to see how we're doing in our relationship with God. And when we go off track, the good news is we can always come back. But are we decreasingly bearing those bad fruit in our lives? Are we increasingly bearing good fruit? Are we spending regular time with God in prayer? That's in terms of praise, thanksgiving, confession, and requests. Are we regularly engaging with the Bible? Are we reading it, devotions, getting involved in services and places where we can have that Bible teaching? Are we actively involved in a local church? And I underline actively because it's possible to be passive and just turn up and be legalistic. But are we serving in the church as well? Are we enjoying spending time with God, or has it become a legalistic activity? And I would suggest that if we are spiritually healthy, we're like that tree with the good fruit that attracts people. Are we being a positive Christian witness? This morning, what is God saying to you? Let us pray. Our Father, show us through your Holy Spirit where we are out of step with you, where we have sinned, where we have wronged others, where we need to repent and apologize. Bring to our minds any area where we are out of step, Lord, we pray, where we need to refocus on you, where we need to repent. We confess our sins and failings now, and we ask for your forgiveness. Help us to be serious and committed in seeking you first, that in doing so we would be in step with your Spirit, connected to the true vine and increasingly bearing the fruit of the Spirit and decreasingly bearing those bad fruit of our flesh in our lives, Lord. Help us to be a positive witness for you. And now as we approach the communion table, we thank you for all you have done for us that makes it possible to be in this right relationship with you, spiritually alive. Thank you that you dealt with our sins through your expression of costly and sacrificial love on the cross. Your blood shed for us and your body broken. Amen.